Hello, Place to Be Nation listeners. This is Dylan Hales back with yet another Pod Blast, WrestleMania Weekend Independent Wrestling Show podcast, or Pod Blast, whichever verbiage you want. I was pretty lukewarm about whether or not I was going to do one for this show. I'll be covering the Style Battle show. In many ways, the last WWN show of the weekend, technically Kaiju Big Battle, which I think might even still be going on as we speak, is the last of the weekend, but that's almost an impossible to review show. If you don't know what Kaiju is, it's basically guys dressed up as monsters and hamburgers fighting. I don't even know how you would cover that. It's really meant to be seen live. I'm not sure if I'll even watch it, although maybe, who knows. It's part of the fight package, so whatever. I was on the fence about covering the Style Battle show. I ended up watching the replay after TakeOver, which was a great show. Hope everybody checks out the podcast, the reaction show I did with Chris Zellner, covering that. Also available on the Place to Be Nation. And then I watched this show. There was no sound, and I thought, do I really want to review a show or even watch a show with no sound? And then I kind of powered through it, and I decided to do this show in part because I'm a completist, and I've covered all the other stuff that WWN has put out this week, and it would feel weird not to cover this, but largely I decided to do it because it's the most inexplicably well-booked show of the entire weekend. From a storyline and sort of establishing things perspective, this, you could argue this was the best booked show of any, probably was the best booked show of any indie show, which is mind-boggling when you consider that the Style Battle show was just a throwaway show, didn't mean a ton for a dead brand. It's just the promised season finale to a concept that was only created for the purposes of Flow Slam. It's clearly not going to go on after this, and yet the show was booked really well. The best shot angle all weekend at the WWE events was Keith Lee being attacked by Nick Gage at the Super Show yesterday, which built to this, and also built off a previous altercation they had in New York at the original Style Battle, or not the original, but the most recent Style Battle prior to these, where Gage wrestled Walter, and Keith Lee came up and sort of broke things up. You know, that was probably the best angle WWE shot all weekend, and it was, they did stuff with it here. It's just, I'll get into more of it as I cover this. It really is crazy. I really wanted to do this as a way almost of venting at the absurdity of this being the show that WWE decided to book really well. It's nuts. I mean, not that Evolve 102 and 103 were like terribly booked or anything, but and I did like the catch point angle with Tracy Williams being thrown out by Stokely Hathaway. I thought it was well done, but it's just, of all the shows to be masterfully booked, and in many ways this would not have been the candidate. Here you have a show taking place running head-to-head against Ring of Honor, which did 6,000 fans roughly, so basically a sellout, their biggest house in history. NXT, which did almost 14,000 fans. So 20,000 fans are tied up in these two shows. Not to mention the people that just decided to go to Bourbon Street, or maybe there were some other live podcast things, or the people that went to Access. Because also tonight at Access, we had just one of the matches at Access tonight was Chris Hero versus Walter, which was going on also during this. So you've got all the thousands and thousands of fans, literally tens of thousands of fans elsewhere. Style Battle still running, $10 tickets. I asked the question early, would they do 250 people paid or not? Look, I'm not even sure they did 50. I mean, it was shockingly sparse. By far the most poorly attended show of the weekend. I can't say I'm surprised it was the most poorly attended in the building, but I am actually kind of surprised there were that few people. I thought they would at least have 100 in there. I thought with the strength of the Gage and Keith Lee angle, there's a chance that they'd be able to just get some stragglers who couldn't get tickets to the bigger shows because they were sold out and just go, it's $10, I'll show up or whatever. No, there was virtually nobody here. And because I had no audio, I have no clue if they were loud or not. I can't speak to whether the crowd was invested or not. What I can say was This was a shockingly good show. The opener, Tracer X versus AR Fox. First of all, I should mention this is a one-night tournament. All style battle shows are. In principle, this was supposed to be a situation where the winners of each of the 8 style battle tournaments that had happened previously would face off in this tournament to crown the first ever style battle champion. That's not actually what happened. You know, there were multiple winners that were not in it. I believe, let's see, Kincaid won one, AR Fox won one, Tracer X won one, Anthony Henry won a style battle, and Matt Riddle won a style battle. The others did not. Dave Crist was advertised to be on the show. He was a style battle winner. He was advertised to be on the show. I don't know if he didn't show up or was hurt. I don't know. He was supposed to be here and he wasn't here. We'll get into that here in a minute. John Davis was also a style battle winner. It's a shame he wasn't there because he's still quite a good wrestler and I would like to see it. And there's one other that won a style battle that was not in the field, I think, for one reason or another. They just kind of subbed some people in. Keith Lee and Nick Gage being the two most prominent subs, and then there's another that we'll get to here in a little bit. But the first match, Tracer X and AR Fox. Tracer X had won his tournament, probably the most controversial winner in the sense that they put him over Fred Yehi and I think maybe Anthony Henry and some other people, and it felt really forced at the time. And I actually think in some ways that was the show that got... People had, even though the style battle shows have never been well attended, I think there were some people that were into the concept, and that show sort of killed the idea of it to some people. But this was a good match. Very well-paced match, good high-flying, some brawling mixed in, some good near falls. AR Fox matches are almost always exciting. This match was no exception. I thought there was a chance that they would do something wild and give Tracer X a little run here. Obviously, this was his only match many a weekend, and they pushed him through to win a tournament before, so it seemed possible that he had a chance of beating AR Fox. No. AR Fox got the win. I also thought there was a chance he would win just by virtue of the fact that maybe some of the bigger names wouldn't want to work more than once, but we'll see how they got around that as we go through. Next up, Anthony Henry and Jason Kincaid. I mean, this was nuts. I mean, these guys basically unloaded their entire arsenal of offense, which is plentiful in the case of both men, two of the more dynamic offensive wrestlers in the entire independent scene. They basically did everything they had in the toolkit in this match. Total all-out crazy match. This is something that easily could have been a final on a lot of the previous style battles. Both of them are regulars in Evolve. Kincaid had kind of a wild weekend wrestling at Access, then the angle with Jarek where he didn't wrestle at Mercury Rising, and then just going nuts on this show. Probably, I would say maybe the weirdest weekend of anybody would be Jason Kincaid's. This match, though, was excellent is probably too strong in the sense that it wasn't like a match of the year contender. It was a very good match. Not really a star rating guy, but if I was, you know, 3.5, 3.75, I mean, it was quite good. And they basically did everything you could imagine in front of a crowd that was not big. So I give these guys a ton of credit for busting their hump out there. Anthony Henry did get the W, moving on. Next up, Matt Riddle taking on Snoop Strikes. This was interesting because Strikes ended up being the last second substitute for Dave Crist. Given some of the other people who would pop up on the show in scramble matches later on, it seems an odd choice. It seems like they could have, if you wanted to put names or people with buzz or whatever, there definitely were other options on this show that would have been better. Having said that, for what they did in this match was awesome. I loved this match. In terms of purely like matches that spoke to me that I liked as a fan, not talking about star ratings or match of the years or whatever, but matches that served a purpose both in speaking to what the two characters were and its slot on the show, this is like one of my 5 favorite matches of the entire weekend, as crazy as that sounds. Strikes, obviously the underdog, comes out with the high flying, puts Riddle on his, gets him backpedaling, and then Riddle just cuts him down, and he's just wildly ragdolling him, like from gut wrench position, and just flinging him around like he's nothing. And Strikes comes back, with a little bit of an offensive run, or tries to, and Riddle just smashes him back down again. Brutal go to sleep, and then creams him with a knee lift. It's basically a really well put together competitive squash sprint. I don't even know if it goes 4 minutes, but it's absolutely perfect for what it is. It gives the younger, less established guy some shine. Totally makes Riddle look like a monster and an absolute beast in the process. It was like watching like a Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio Jr. match from 2003 SmackDown or something. I mean, it was awesome. Absolutely loved it. Another version of Matt Riddle. I mean, I've said it ad nauseum on these podcasts. I've seen 9 of his 11 matches from this weekend. We'll get to a few more here as we go on. And every single one of them has been different in some way. And every single one of them has been a different version or a different approach or something has been different. And if you're of the opinion that Matt Riddle's a one-note guy after this weekend, I just don't take your opinion seriously on him, and I think you're too biased to be fair toward him. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Like, I just think at this point it's fundamentally dishonest to pretend that this guy's a one-note guy. Or to pretend that this is a guy who has to be reined in by other people. I don't think Snoop Strikes is reining in Matt Riddle. I just think that's a borderline psychotic position. And I mean, nobody's made it, so obviously to a degree I'm strawmanning here, but I've seen him accused of being a guy who has to be reined in. And there's a degree to which I think that's true, because I do think he has certain habits that I also am not in love with, to be frank. But he clearly has a mind for this, and he's clearly got more depth, and he's clearly, at least this weekend, he found something in himself that shows the range of ability and talents he has, and I don't think people should sleep on that. I actually think, in terms of depth of character and ability this weekend, you know, if you compare him to the other standouts, whether it be Zack Sabre Jr. or Walter or Ospreay, I mean, it's kind of a decimation of them. In terms of a range of characters played, you know, and that's not a knock on them. All those guys had excellent runs, and if anybody picked them as the MVP of the weekend, I wouldn't really argue it. But in terms of range, I think Riddle had them all beat by a healthy margin. Moving on to the next match, Keith Lee versus Nick Gage. This was the one match that was really built up for the show, and I have to say I thought it lived up to the hype. This would probably be my favorite Gage match of the weekend. You know, we had 3 matches. The Pentagon match from Joey Janela Spring Break. And then the Bloodsport match versus Timothy Thatcher. I thought all his matches were different in their own ways. This was, I think, his best match, though, of the weekend. Which is crazy because it was in front of the smallest crowd. By far the smallest crowd that he worked. Because he worked 2 of the most well-attended shows the whole weekend. And these guys had the sort of toe-to-toe fight that you would expect. Gage tried to sort of intimidate and outstrike Keith Lee, and he paid for it. And Keith Lee's size was a factor here. There was a point where Gage went for his, you know, big boot scrape in the corner, and Keith Lee just caught it and threw it, like, kind of, you know, nah, that's not going to fly. There were times where Keith Lee would punch Gage, and Gage would just flip him off. There were, you know, moments where you'd see, like, at one point Gage threw a lariat. He's kind of got a crowbarish style lariat, and Lee just ran through it and murdered him with a shoulder tackle. I mean, it was just really well to put together fight. I mean, that's how I would put it, but without the sort of garbage wrestling tropes that people often associate with Nick Gage. It was more of a straight up fight between two big guys who had a personal issue coming into this. Gage attacked him at the bell. Gage ended up, at one point, Gage went for a spinebuster. He couldn't get it. He got it later in the match. I mean, the match had good psychology. It's real good. And, you know, Gage ends up getting caught in a spirit bomb. And I have to say, I don't know, because, again, I didn't have the audio. Referee counted. And to me, it looked like Gage kicked out right before the 3. But they played it as a 3 count. I couldn't tell if they were trying to get over that it was a controversial finish or not, whatever the case may be. Lee got up, and Gage attacks him with a steel chair, pilmanizes him, puts his ankle in the chair, stomps on it. They do the injury angle. He's flipping people off, goes to the back. Lee gets carried out by medical personnel. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, presumably, this is setting up Gage versus Lee down the road. I don't know where you would do that at this point. I don't know if that's something we'll see on an Evolve show. I don't know if it's something we'll see on a GCW show. Keith Lee is presumably not long for the independents. I certainly don't think he's finishing up, that he has finished up rather with Evolve. It would be really weird for him to have done it this weekend the way his weekend ended. Who knows? It would be absolutely insane if his run ended this way that it did on this show, but who knows? Keith Lee did advance. He was injured moving into the next round. They seem to have set up something with him and Nick Gage. Another interesting thing. Then from there, you got a WWA four school scramble. You know, these bunch of guys from that are AR Fox trainees. I'm not going to run down everybody in the match. I thought the standouts were AC Mack, who I'm a big fan of, and Alan Angels, who really athletic guy. Their bumping and flying, I think, really stood out more than anybody else's, although everybody looked good in this. These are guys who trained together. It's kind of a fun sort of additional thing as a bridge between the first and the second round. You need matches like that when you run tournament. Believe me, I know something about that. And this was good for what it was. I mean, you know, something you'd throw a ton of snowflakes at or that you'll remember in 6 months, but I thought the effort was high, and they did some cool creative stuff, and it was fun to watch. Next up, Anthony Henry and A.R. Fox in the semifinals. Another wild one. Not as much meat to it as the Henry and Kincaid match, but you had some crazy stuff in here. At one point, you had... it looked like Henry was going to get the win with a brainbuster, and the AR Fox did the one count kick out and the sort of Hulk up. I'm not in love with that stuff as a rule, but I thought it worked the way it was done here, and the fact that they were doing those spots in front of this small of a crowd kind of popped me on its own level for that level of dedication and to try and get things over. They went back and forth, some really hard strikes in this. Big fighting spirit stretch down the toward the end, and then Anthony Henry ends up winning by reversing a small package of all things. And weirdly, I was okay with it. I actually thought, some people might think it was a cheap win. I didn't think so. And here we got Anthony Henry, who I felt coming into the tournament should have won the tournament, and he's going toward the finals. And if you look, he's had very tough run of it. He's wrestled Jason Kincaid, who's an Evolve regular, and AR Fox, who's an Evolve regular. AR Fox, almost a top of the card guy at times in Evolve this year, in back-to-back matches. Meanwhile, Matt Riddle has wrestled Strikes in the first round, and then in his second round match, he wrestled an injured Keith Lee. As Keith Lee hobbles to the ring, he's still selling the knee from the attack by Nick Gage. The medical, there's medical staff and referees telling him, no, you don't need to get in here. And he gets in the ring, and Riddle just sort of looks at him, and they shake hands or whatever, and they trade forearms. And Lee sets him up to go for the pounce, and he just collapses. He just falls straight on the ground. And there's this moment where Riddle sort of looks at him, and he's got that bro-ish smile on his face, like he doesn't know what to do. And then he just nukes him just absolutely kills him with this knee lift and pins him. And I gotta tell you, from a booking perspective, I thought this was genius. It totally protects Keith Lee. He doesn't look like a chump. The guy's leg was destroyed earlier by Nick Gage. You got Riddle, who they're clearly pushing in a direction that is a little bit more heelish, I think. You saw it in the Ospreay match at Mercury Rising, and I think you're seeing it here. It's not full-blown heel, but they're really, I think, going back to the roots of the Matt Riddle character when he debuted, when he was, that cocky, super talented guy that had that killer instinct, and they're playing with that again. I think it's almost in some ways, from a character perspective, it's some of the elements from that early 2016 Matt Riddle run mixed in with some things he's picked up along the way. And you couldn't rate this as a match. I mean, I'm not even sure it went 2 minutes, but you've got this great element now, as you've got Riddle, who he didn't have to wrestle Dave Crist in the first round because Crist didn't show up, so he gets this young guy who's obviously, the basically the biggest gimme in the tournament. Then he moves on to Keith Lee, who presumably is a challenge, except Keith Lee's leg was destroyed by Nick Gage. And meanwhile, Anthony Henry has got, you know, arguably the top two guys in the whole field that are healthy. So just really, really smart booking. You've got Anthony Henry, who's you know, needs the win, needs to go for it, needs to be the star, needs this to make him, and he's had the harder path. And you've got Matt Riddle, the current Evolve champion, who's had the easier path and kind of took a little bit of a nasty shortcut against Keith Lee. But before we get to the final, we did have two more scramble matches. One was a tag team scramble. I'm not going to run down all the teams. I don't really see the point. I will say there was a DTU team of Crazy Boy and Arrow Boy in it. There was Jimmy Lloyd and Tony Deppen was one of the teams. Stevie Fierce and Matt Nix was one of the teams. This was fine. Yeah, there's some fun spots in it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the WWE 4 scramble, but it was okay. I get that you have to fill spots and time on the card, and you want to give guys a look and reward people for making the trip out. And that's fine. I didn't have a problem with this. You know, a part of me wondered, man, they could have put Jimmy Lloyd in there against Riddle and Matt Rev in that first round match. And I would have loved it. But I think for the story that they were telling, Snoop Strikes actually worked better. So it's hard to complain about. Then after that, they had yet another scramble. This one, a single scramble. Logan Creed ended up winning that one. I'm familiar with Logan Creed. He's worked around here. In fact, he wrestled on a show that I one of the promoters for not that long ago. Big guy, you know, does some crazy stuff for a guy his size. This was fine. I've got to say, I don't think, if I had one criticism of the show, it was I don't think you need three scrambles on a show. I get that you want to give time for the guys to call the matches and whatnot and things of that nature, but, you know, it wasn't necessary. Two I could live with, three felt excessive. The best of the bunch, for what it's worth, I felt was definitely the WBA 4 scramble, probably in part because those people are used to each other, they work each other a lot, but also just I think they had, a kind of a go-getter attitude that was evident in them and their work. So kudos to those guys again, particularly AC Mack and Alan Angels, as I said earlier. Finally, main event, Style Battle finale, probably the last thing we'll ever hear of these shows, Matt Riddle versus Anthony Henry. This should be noted was Matt Riddle's 11th match in 3 days. I'm not sure if he's wrestled. I mean, I'm not sure if he was scheduled to wrestle for House of Hardcore tonight, which would have been number 12. That's the only other sort of possibility. I'd have to look and check on that. But I think he definitely had the most voluminous weekend of anybody, or at least anybody that I'm aware of. Anthony Henry, you know, did not have as voluminous a weekend, obviously. Was not on Evolve 103, inexplicably, and in my opinion, absurdly not on 103. I thought that was kind of silly, especially with the injuries they had. But he was on Evolve 102. He was also on Mercury Rising. I felt like this was Anthony Henry's tournament to win coming into it. I felt like it would be an opportunity to make him. On the other hand, when you're wrestling in front of maybe 50, 60 people, even if it's on iPay-per-view, how many people are really going to go back and watch this show? I don't know. So maybe it wasn't worth it. I don't know. In any event, this was probably the closest thing to the Riddle match that a lot of people don't love, in the sense that it was very much a fighting spirit thing. It was the only time all weekend I can remember him doing the German no-sell spot. But I thought it completely worked here. It worked in the sense that he had the easiest night of anybody, at least within the Style Battle tournament itself. It works with the sort of almost Terminator-esque character that there seemed to be going in the direction with him. And it worked as in the idea of bringing Anthony Henry up to his level. The match was very much about, at first they were grappling and there was some parody there because, Henry, like Riddle, has an MMA background. Then they were striking and they were trading and there were some nasty strikes. They were back and forth there and there was nothing fully determinant there. And it was almost like Riddle was trying to bring it out of Henry, make him beat him. I very, very, very much enjoyed that. They got to the point where Riddle hit the huge knee and Henry kicked out, and it was a great near fall, great moment. He's beaten a lot of people this weekend, including both of the previous matches in this tournament with that. Great, 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 great spot. Not entirely dissimilar from the finish of finishing minutes of last year's Scenic City Invitational tournament with Riddle and Joey Lynch. That was really well to get put together. Just the build to that I thought was really well done. There's another great near fall in here as well, and you start to think, okay, Henry's gonna do it. He's able to get the advantage, get trap Riddle in the half crab, which he's used as submission. And there was this great moment where Riddle, who's on this crusade to end rope breaks, he doesn't want any more rope breaks in Evolve. If he's defending the Evolve championship, there'll be no rope breaks. And Riddle is scrambling for the rope, which I thought, God, if you were trying to protect a guy and make a guy a star, having him scramble for the rope when he's against rope breaks is a way to do it, right? And you think, oh man, this is it. Riddle rolls forward. He kind of rolls almost into a quasi-guard position. Henry comes in with this flurry of rapid-fire strikes, and it looks like he's about to finish him. There's even a brief moment where you think, man, are they going to do a referee stoppage? And then Riddle just sort of grabs a hold of him, flashes on the Bro Mission, and submits him. And it's really a great finish. It's a finish very much out of the shoot style format. Again, I felt this was Henry's tournament to win, but if you, in a way, the way it played out, I was actually fine with. I don't know if they'll do anything with this going forward. It feels like if they wanted to set up Henry as a credible challenge to Riddle, the way the match was worked, they could absolutely do it. If they just want to pretend this never happened, they could do that too. I did think Henry looked like a star here. I thought he was protected like a star here. I thought they kind of further established Riddle as almost an opportunistic ass kicker in how he's presented. They advanced things with Gage and Lee, or at least presumably did. The internal booking of the tournament made a lot of sense, with Henry having to go the hard route, Riddle getting the easier route. The way they took out Lee was very smart in a way that protected it. I mean, the booking of the show was like, I mean, it was the most well-booked WWN thing maybe in ages. It was crazy. I have no clue how many people are even going to watch this show. I would actually strongly recommend it. I would say for sure you could skip, especially the last two scrambles. I'd give the WWA 4 kids a chance. They worked really hard. But you could skip the last two scrambles, and I don't think you'd really be missing much. Those were really just, you know, place setters. But this was a good show, and a very well booked show, and a smart show, and a show where I think once again we saw more out of Matt Riddle. You know, that's kind of been a theme of this weekend, and we saw a really good performance from Nick Gage. I felt we saw a really good run of matches by Anthony Henry. You know, who got, this should have been a bigger opportunity for him. I wish this had been in front of a bigger crowd, because he's damn sure earned it. But this was a fun show. And, you know, I think it's worth noting, WWN can put on well-booked shows that are internally consistent and that build things, and the proof of it is here. That's often something they get criticized for, and I don't think it's an unfair criticism a lot of the time. But here we have proof. Here we have proof. Maybe there's hope. We'll see. In any case, that's Style Battle. That's it for me on these Pop Blasts. I will come back with one more that will not be thematic to a show. It'll be maybe running down overall thoughts on the weekend, standout performers, standout matches, maybe under the radar matches that people should look out for, go back and watch. I've had a blast doing these. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank the Place to Be a Nation for putting all this craziness up there. It's been a super fun run. 8 shows by myself, which I didn't even know if I'd be able to finish one, and I'm really glad people have enjoyed these. May do it again for other events here and there that are, you know, other independent shows here and there if I feel there's a need. Next year I may be at Mania. Who knows? In any case, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I'm Dylan Hales. You can follow me on Twitter at Dylan Waco, and I will talk to you in some format sooner or later somewhere.